Did you know that collagen makes up 30% of the protein in your body? It's the substance that gives structure, support, and strength to your skin, muscles, bones, and connective tissues. Collagen is what keeps our skin firm and youthful, preventing it from sagging. It also supplies amino acids that are crucial for building healthy hair and protecting hair follicles. The collagen supplement that I use and recommend to my patients is Revive by Bright Core Nutrition. Revive combines 5 types of collagen with hyaluronic acid and biotin to heal and nourish your skin, hair, and nails. Studies show that collagen also helps relieve joint inflammation and pain. If you're looking to heal your body from the inside out and reverse some effects of aging, Revive could be your answer. For more information and to order, visit mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman or call 888-592-9909. That's 888-592-9909. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, buy 2 bottles of Revive and get 1 free, plus a collagen sheet mask as a free gift. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman for Revive Multi-Collagen Protein. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Roland Hoffman. We're talking to a preeminent ecological medicine practitioner from the UK, Dr. Jenny Goodman, a medical doctor, author, lecturer, and broadcaster, author of a great new book. I think it really is worthy of being a reference book in your library, Getting Healthy in Toxic Times, An Ecological Doctor's Prescription for Healing Your Body and the Planet, Detox Your Home, Food, Actions, and the World. And you know, I think it's a great reference book. It's very comprehensive. And you did a beautiful job in part one of laying out, you know, what some of the potential problems are when it comes to toxic exposure. But let's take a little different perspective in part two, because in part one, you acted sort of as a detective looking at, you know, what's happening in a person's body when they're sick. But really, the job of an environmental physician or an ecological physician is to be detective about a person's environs, about their home, their workplace, and looking at what is called their exposome. You know, we talk about the microbiome. We also should be talking about the exposome, the environment in which you live, and the potential sources of toxicity that could be remediated. So let's take a house tour, you know, perhaps, you know, pick a room. Let's start wherever you like.
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is that we do spend 90% of our time indoors. And therefore, the indoor environment is the one that affects us most profoundly, but it's also the one we can do most to change. I mean, we evolved in a very, very different environment over millions of years. We evolved living, you know, in the forest, in the savannah, in a completely natural environment with the Earth's electromagnetic field, with absolutely no synthetic chemicals at all. And the Industrial Revolution was only a millisecond ago in terms of the speed of biological evolution. Right, so we haven't had a chance to adapt to these artificial environments that we now live in. But there is loads we can do to make our home environment certainly safer and more congenial and closer to the natural one. And the first thing I would say is stop spraying air fresheners around in your home and ask yourself the question, why does the air in your home need freshening anyway? Open the windows and empty the bins. Sorry, I'll translate that. Take out the trash. Okay.
Let me just introduce this notion, because a lot of people believe that their home is sort of a bastion against the external toxicity, you know, that they keep the air conditioner on and they keep the windows closed. But I've seen studies that suggest that indoor environments actually have high levels of VOCs, you know, volatile organic compounds. Than outside, you know, so we're fooling ourselves by locking ourselves into hermetically sealed environments.
And the other thing we're doing by locking ourselves in is creating mold, because in this sealed environment, and we're all into insulation these days, but if you have no ventilation and you're exhaling, breathing out, you're cooking you're showering, you're taking a bath, all of that creates water vapor and it evaporates and it condenses where the wall meets the ceiling up the top and creates damp, which is what mold likes. So mold is a natural thing in that it's a living organism, if you like, but it's not natural for us to live in such concentrated amounts of mold. And molds give out mycotoxins, which are just as dangerous as any synthetic compound. And the only way to avoid this, if you live indoors, is to have the windows open and have a little bit of heating, even in the winter, with the windows open, because then you're recreating the warm, dry climate in which molds cannot thrive. If there is damp, you will mold, and it's implicated in everything from chronic fatigue to cancer to mental illness as well. Now, if you're keeping the windows open, you are letting out other toxins from your home as well. So, for example, in your living room, if you've got synthetic soft furnishings, if you've got carpets and sofas and cushions and curtains, which are made of synthetic material, those are essentially petrochemical materials, the same lipophilic chemicals we were talking about earlier, and they're all flammable. And therefore, by law, they must be impregnated with with fire retardants, with flame retardant substances. Now, those substances tend to be polybrominated biphenyls or polybrominated diethers, right? Anyway, you hear the bromine in there. It's a toxic halogen. And for the first couple of years of the life, cushions or whatever, those brominated compounds are outgassing into your atmosphere and you are breathing them in, and they are toxic, particularly to the thyroid gland, because the bromine displaces iodine. But plenty of other tissues in the body need iodine as well. You know, the ovary, the prostate, the breast tissue, and so on, the stomach. So if you open your windows, some of that's going out of the window. But when you need to buy new soft furnishings, if you buy natural, organic materials, so the sofa made of wool or linen or cotton or something completely natural, then you don't have to have fire retardants added to it because, and I find this fascinating, all these natural materials, whether it's sheep's wool or cotton, are naturally flame resistant. So there's no requirement to add flame retardants. Don't worry if your soft furnishings are more than a couple of years old. They have finished their outgassing. The concern is when you're going to buy new. Get organic, and it's increasingly possible to do so.
I recall a case, by the way, it was a fascinating case because I had a family come in, and it was like a whole family. It was a mother and father and two children came in. And the problem was that the daughter had lupus, unusual, a child with lupus. But also the child had hypothyroidism. And curiously, the other sibling had hypothyroidism, young child. And when I started asking some questions about their environment, they said, oh yeah, we just created a new playroom in the basement. And we furnished it with new carpeting and a new sofa and all kinds of new furniture. And the children spend an inordinate amount of time in the basement because they really love it. It's a great new playroom. And I said, oh my goodness, is there a little bit of a chemical residue odor? And they go, yeah, you know, new furniture. And I go, that's the culprit. I mean, it was the most dramatic example of how an environmental exposure could trigger some very unusual children's health problems in vulnerable children.
That's right. I mean, we are seeing those kind of autoimmune diseases that only used to happen in older adults. We are seeing them in younger and younger people. And these chemicals are part of the reason. I always say to new parents, don't paint the nursery. Do not paint. In fact, you don't need a nursery. You need the baby in your bed, but that's another story.
Right.
So going back to soft furnishings with flame retardants in, mattresses are the most worrying of all, right? You spend about 8 hours out of 24 in bed, and whatever that mattress is made of, you're absorbing its contents through your skin because, you know, they're lipophilic, they dissolve in fat, they go into the skin, and you're inhaling them as well into your lungs. And mattresses have not only those flame retardants, but all sorts of other really quite frightening toxic chemicals in them, which is why if you're buying a new mattress, get organic. And it is increasingly easy to buy a an organic mattress made from sheep's wool, coconut fiber, and all sorts of other natural materials, both plant and animal, which are safe for you and your child to sleep on. The other thing that is of concern in the bedroom is, I don't know if you do this in the States, but here, people use mothballs to keep moths out of their clothing.
Okay.
Now, those purple mothballs are made of paradichlorobenzene, which is the commonest pesticide, and it is a pesticide, it's an insecticide, it kills moths. The commonest one I found in people's fat samples, when we could do fat samples, we knew them. And is very toxic. And there's such a simple alternative, which is lavender oil. Mosquitoes and the clothes moths, the moths that eat your clothes, they hate lavender oil. So you can just spray lavender oil on your clothes and it smells very nice. You can also use a combination of lavender oil and neem oil. That's N-E-E-M from an Indian tree, an ancient herbal remedy, which is insecticidal. Now, the moths hate that as well. But we don't like the smell of it either. But if you have enough lavender in there, it covers it up. So important to be safe in that way in the bedroom. If we go down to the kitchen, we have to ask, what is in the cupboard under the kitchen sink? Right. So the cleaning chemicals. Most people, if they start looking at their cleaning chemical bottles with a magnifying glass, will see the skull and crossbones sign on there, which means what it has always meant. You don't need most of those synthetic cleaning chemicals. You just need water and a little bit of bicarbonate of soda. That is what you need. And we don't want antibacterial sprays everywhere. You know, that's not good for our microbiome. We need the naturally occurring bacteria that are around our homes and our pets. If you go upstairs to the bathroom and look in the bathroom cabinet, you find, you know, the aftershave, the perfume, the deodorant, the moisturizer, the shampoo, all of these are synthetic chemicals which can very easily be replaced by natural herbal alternatives. And obviously, the list of brands will be different in the USA from what it is here in the UK. But certainly in Chapter 7 of the book, I do list lots of alternatives. And you can get these substances organic and completely safe. But you will also find that if you'd fit a water filter, so there's no more chlorine coming out into the water in your bath and shower, you won't actually need so much moisturizer because you won't be drying out your skin.
This is a problem for me personally because I'm a big swimmer and I'm in a chlorine pool and it has a very desiccating effect. It also has a kind of really bad effect on your respiratory system, causing the sneezing and so on.
There are things you can do about that, not so much about the respiratory effects, but I also have to swim in a chlorinated pool and I would take an iodine tablet before and after the swim.
Interesting.
To get the chlorine out of my system. And I will also make sure that I've got plenty of magnesium in the system to keep the bronchioles open, even though the chlorine is kind of screaming at your lungs to close up. I think the benefit of the exercise outweighs the damage that the chlorine. But in the States, you have something else coming out of your faucet, right? Which
fluorine. And lately in the crosshairs, really, because of the NTP study that just came out of the National Toxicology Program.
But there's been a huge victory in the courts, right? Paul Connor and Michael Connor and the Fluoride Action Network won a case that had been going on 7 years in a federal court in California on the 24th of September, where the judge said that in the weight of the huge amount of evidence he had looked through, it was very, very clear that fluoride at the level it's at in your drinking water was lowering children's IQ. Now, it's actually been known for many decades that fluoride, not a nutrient, has no role in human metabolism. It damages the brain, it damages the bone, it damages the kidney, the thyroid, the ovary, and almost all the other organs. And there's been a huge amount of suppression of the research on this, but it's completely clear that it's damaging children's brains. And now the court has told the EPA they have got to do something about it. So the reason given for the fluoride is that it's good for children's teeth. But actually, what keeps children's teeth strong and healthy is brushing their teeth and avoiding sugar. But there's no profit in that. And you might wonder why there is profit in adding fluoride to the drinking water. And for whom is their profit? Well, there are three industries concerned here. Fluoride is a waste product of the phosphate fertilizer industry. And it suits them to actually sell their waste product.
What essentially would be like something that they had to dispose of, and, you know.
It was something they had to dispose of. And they weren't allowed to release it from factory chimneys. And when they released it into the fields, the cattle died. And they've now got this procedure that they say makes it safe, but it produces hexafluorosilicic acid, which is classified as a toxic hazardous waste when it leaves their premises, and suddenly reclassified as water treatment when it's put into your water. And I have seen a disproportionate number of children with serious developmental abnormalities of brain and bone from the two areas here that have had fluoride in the water since 1964. And that is the Republic of Ireland and in the UK, Birmingham and the West Midlands area. That's where all the kids were coming from. And you measure their urinary fluoride level and it is sky high.
There's no question that there is going to be a real reassessment of the fluoride program because its benefits have been exaggerated and its downsides have been minimized. And this is because of just stasis and governmental inaction. And also, I think the stubbornness of the American Dental Association, so-called health authorities.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right. And here, the dentist put fluoride drops on kids' teeth without asking the parents, without telling the parents. Yeah. What else is coming out of your tap? Well, microplastics, nanoparticles.
Big issue. Yeah.
Have a whole section in the book on how to avoid plastics because, like the pesticides and like the heavy metals, they're endocrine disruptors, as well as being carcinogenic and reproductive toxins. And they sit on estrogen receptors and they mimic estrogen. So we're seeing, I've seen little 8-year-old boys with breast development, gynecomastia, because they're full of phthalates and BPA, which are the plastic chemicals. And there are loads of ways we can get rid of the plastic out of our life. Drink water out of glass bottles, not plastic. Stop wrapping food in cling film. You call it plastic wraps. You know, you can use brown paper bags again. They're making a big comeback here.
Indeed. I mean, this is a huge looming issue. And, you know, more and more we're seeing the downsides of our exposure to these microplastics, which have even been found to infiltrate the brain, the arterial walls. They're present in arterial plaque. So huge problem. And it's a problem that we can't simply tackle on our own. We have to tackle it as part of a program of regulatory and legislative action.
And it's an example of how you cannot separate the health of the people from the health of the planet.
Indeed.
Because we've known for a while that plastics are choking the birds and the fish, but they're killing us as well, directly.
You also talk about electrosensitivity and the potential for electric and electromagnetic harms. And some people might think of that's kind of eccentric. I mean, we can't see these things. They're invisible. I mean, they're an inevitable part of our lives these days because we all depend on Wi-Fi. And we're going to get even better because we want to download our movies faster.
So I'm speaking to you now over a perfectly fine broadband connection that goes under the Atlantic Ocean. And I don't have any Wi-Fi in my house. I'm simply using Ethernet. Everything's plugged in, hardwired with cables. It's very, very inconvenient indeed to discover that our mobile phones and the cell phone towers, the base stations which service them, and our Wi-Fi routers and Bluetooth and iPads and all these things are emitting radiation at a frequency that is very harmful to the body in general and to the brain in particular. We are electromagnetic organisms. As much as we are made of chemicals, we are made of electric signals. We evolved in the natural electromagnetic field as the Earth, and we evolved with the visible spectrum of light, that's just the colored rainbow, and ultraviolet to make vitamin D in our skin, and infrared, which is soothing and healing. But everything beyond that, like beyond the ultraviolet, you've got X-rays and nuclear radiation, very, very damaging, strongly implicated in leukemia. We've known this for 70 years. At the other end, you've got very low wavelength, very low frequency, but not necessarily low intensity radiation that is coming out of your mobile phone and your Wi-Fi router. And unfortunately, I have discovered vast amounts of research, thousands of papers linking the use of mobile phone to the development of brain tumors. And we're talking about young people, and the tumors are happening on the side of the head where people hold the phone. And now the manufacturers know this. They've moved to the antenna. So it's lower down the phone. We're seeing salivary gland tumors, and we're seeing throat cancer in young people who have never smoked. And throat cancer used to be a disease of elderly men who'd smoked a pipe and drunk whiskey all their life. And there is no doubt, unfortunately, that the radiation from the phones is causing this. But the good news is holding it just a little bit away from your head makes all the difference, because the intensity of radiation that you're exposing yourself to and goes down by the cube of the distance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is from Rob Foucault.
Logarithmic decline, in other words.
Yes, it's a logarithmic decline. So if you're touching your ear with a phone, you are in grave danger. If you're holding it just a couple of inches away, you're not. Plus, there are loads of ways to make use of this technology safer. And at the end of chapter 6, I go into detail about all the devices you can get, the meters to measure your exposure, Faraday bags that you can cover your phone in. And we can use this technology more safely, but it would be nice if the big tech industries had chosen the frequency less alien to human biology. They could have done that. And we need to campaign for them to do that as well. But we can stay perfectly connected to our friends and do our work and make all these calls like this without exposing ourselves to the most dangerous elements of this new technology.
So let's talk about, you know, what we can do, you know, on a political level, because I understand you're a good colleague of my friend and colleague, Rob Verkerk, who is currently has a dual role with the ANH International that is based in the UK, and also with stateside, the Alliance for Natural Health USA. We had, I think, a very interesting historical moment here where through, you know, maybe serendipity, the political candidate who's been elected in the United States has embraced, at least ostensibly, we don't know how it's going to pan out, the platform of RFK Jr., which is very much in your wheelhouse, in our wheelhouse, in terms of making ourselves healthy again, looking at sources of environmental toxicity from industrial chemicals, and also looking at the food supply. What can we do as citizens, both you know, across the pond and internationally, as well as here in the United States?
I mean, I think, first of all, we have to inform ourselves and educate ourselves, and we have to educate the public about the principle which unfortunately operates here, which is called follow the money, right? So let's start with, because I divided the book into earth, water, air, and fire, fire being a metaphor for nuclear and electromagnetic radiation. So looking at pollution in all those four realms, if you start with the earth, you've got the heavy metals, but you've also got the pesticides and synthetic fertilizers. And the pesticides were weapons of war. They were nerve gases used in both world wars. And the synthetic fertilizers are derived from explosives, also used in warfare.
Right.
So when the war was over in 1945, the manufacturers didn't say, do you know what, I'm going to give this up and it's not needed anymore. I'll go and be a tennis coach.
Interesting historical perspective, yeah.
Very important to know, they repurposed them. It's all about profit. So the organic farming movement and the regenerative farming movement, which wants to clean up the soil and nurture the soil, which is alive, and look after it and replenish it so that we can grow safe, healthy food, is constantly being targeted by the people who produce the pesticides because there's huge profit in it. And similarly, with heavy metal, you know, it's now okay to say lead is poisonous because the lead industry is nowhere anymore. It's okay even to say mercury is poisonous because the mercury industry is almost dead. But you try saying that aluminium causes Alzheimer's and breast cancer, which it does, and you're up against the might of Big Al, the aluminium industry. So whether you can get the word out depends on the commercial concern and powerful companies in the moment. And that actually is what we need to get through to people, that the fluoride in the water, for example, is solving the waste disposal problem of the phosphate fertilizer industry and the aluminium industry, of which fluoride is also a waste product. And it's helping the sugar industry, because Big Sugar can say to concerned parents, you don't have to worry. It's okay for your kids to eat candy. The fluoride in the water will protect their teeth.
We bulletproofed your teeth so you can consume, they'll say, sugar in moderation, whatever that means.
Always look at in whose interests is it for you to be consuming this poison. And of course, it applies to Big Pharma with a pH as well. It's ultimately not in their interest for us to learn how to keep ourselves healthy by avoiding toxins and eating all the right foods, taking supplements where necessary. Perfectly possible we all have the right to live long, healthy lives and die eventually peacefully just of old age. We don't have to have this twilight decade at the end of our lives where we're in care homes like warehouses. We should be fit and healthy really until we fade out gently at the end. But that is not in the interest of Big Pharma, because the drug company's raison d'etre is not to make safe products for the public or to keep the public healthy. In law, their raison d'etre is shareholder profit. That's what they're there for, and they freely admit it. And therefore, if we really get ourselves healthy, they go out of business. So they're not even producing drugs to make us healthy, because if we got better, then we wouldn't buy any more drugs. So unfortunately, we have to raise everyone's awareness about this huge commercial incentive that is interfering with the practice of medicine.
What do English health practitioners and citizens think of the fact that in the United States, we're one of two countries where you can do direct-to-consumer advertisements on TV? This is something that you're spared from, but literally,
That's right.
You watch the evening news, the demographic, kids don't get their news anymore by sitting around the for a fireside chat every evening from, 6 to, 7:30, they get their news sporadically from social media. But older adults, the people who the drug companies want to target, are sitting around, conscientiously watching the news like concerned citizens. And then they're bombarded with advertisements to take this or that or the other expensive drug.
Yes, it is. That the drug companies can advertise directly to the public, I think in the USA and in New Zealand.
Two countries.
Interesting,
worldwide.
Just Jacinda Ardern didn't reverse that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think she would have reversed that. On the other hand, although that's not legal here, it almost might as well be, because what the drug companies do is advertise very, very intensively to the doctors, to the family practitioners and the hospital consultants. And increasingly, medical education is being replaced by so-called education from Big Pharma.
Yeah.
So certainly most of the ordinary doctors that I speak to, they get their so-called information from the drug companies.
Continuing education after they've gotten licensure. Yep.
And there's bribery and corruption, and that even the journal articles are utterly contaminated with the profit motive of Big Pharma. So when a person goes to their doctor, they are not getting neutral, impartial, and fully informed advice. They're getting what the drug rep just told the doctor.
Indeed. Well, there's a lot to tackle here, but your book is a good start, Getting Healthy in Toxic Times, because this is a grassroots movement. Subtitle, An Ecological Doctor's Prescription for Healing Your Body and the Planet. There's lots more granular information there, just practical news you can use to safeguard your health and the health of your family, your loved ones. It's really a very, very helpful compendium of measures you can take to protect yourself from environmental challenges and heal your body. So let's get the word out about getting healthy in toxic times. You have a website as well, right?
I do have a website, drjennygoodman.com. And I'm on the main social media platforms, Instagram, LinkedIn, and a little bit on Facebook and Twitter, whatever it's called now. But, there was another possible title for this second book, which was, What's Got Into You?
Right.
How pollution is damaging our health and what we can do about it.
That's
and
a,
I think
That's catchy. You know,
that was my favorite title, but there you go. Publishers make the decision, bless them. But yeah, I think the most basic thing for people to understand actually is that we don't need to be as sick as we are. We haven't always been as sick as we are, and that we are seeing huge increases in the number of young people with cancer, kids with leukemia, yet young people with what used to be called mature onset diabetes, millions of people with dementia, which is not an inevitable consequence of growing old. And we need to reclaim our shock and horror about this and to remember it doesn't have to be like this. It's not because we've got an aging population, because cancer is increasing much faster among younger people. And so, you know, we need to get back to where we were before the Industrial Revolution in the sense of, you know, reclaiming our right to a healthy body. It's not true, by the way, that we're living longer than our Victorian ancestors. And in the first book, I unpick why that's an arithmetical error. But we're just living sicker. And if we find out what's poisoning us and the good stuff that's missing, we can turn that around.
Very eloquently said. Thanks very much, Dr. Jenny Goodman, for joining us today, and much success in getting the word out about Getting Healthy in Toxic Times. That's the title of the book that you can order from all the usual sources.
Thank you.
Thank you.
OQ.
Okay, but your cat was good, so, you know, your cat gets a little reward for not interrupting the podcast and pouncing on your head or doing some mischief. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations. This holiday season, don't miss out on your chance to stock up on your favorite supplements during the Black Friday Cyber Monday sale at my FullScript online supplement dispensary. November 29th through December 3rd, 5 days only, get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at drhoffmanstore.com. You stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. It's the safest and most convenient way to purchase my curated supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast, free shipping and optional refill reminders via text or email. It's safe, secure, and includes world-class customer service. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for 10% off and free shipping for 5 days only from November 29th through December 3rd. That's drhoffmanstore.com.